Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you on this lovely, bright morning. And I just need to pray too. So let's just quiet ourselves for a minute. Oh. Father, we just pray this morning, would you speak through me to everyone here, Lord. Father, we are hungry to hear from you, Lord. And so, Father, we pray, would you satisfy us this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a type of car that you just don't see around these days. And when I was young, a lot of people had one. And, you know, particularly if you're in your 20s, it was very, very familiar that you own this type of car. And, you know, if I go into Sainsbury's or something like that now, I just don't see these cars anymore. And I really wonder what has happened to them. And these cars were called the old banger. I don't know if any of you remember the phase of the old banger. And I thought about it and I thought, I wonder why we don't see them anymore. And I think it must be because you can get cars on payments or, you know, get credit. And of course, when we were in your 20s then, it wasn't really around. So the point of that car was that it simply got you from A to B. What it looked like really didn't matter. This was not the time when you were out to impress. You were just wanting to move. And Jim, have we got any images? Do you know? Yeah. Have you got? Ah, oh, here they are. Perfect. Yeah, in the corner there, you'll see a couple. Just if you're sort of under 20, under 30, you might not know exactly what they look like. And you may smile, but I have actually been a passenger in a number of these cars. And I just want you to know the sort of things that you would experience if you were in an old banger. One of them was that if the aerial broke, you didn't buy another one, you got a coat hanger and you untwisted it. It's really dangerous because it could sever your hand. But, and then you plonked it into the hole the aerial, and you know, it worked like a dream. Worked like a dream. So, you know, we'd be going around with these aerials. And then another of Tim's cars had a window in the passenger seat where if you went round the bend, literally all the glass as one sheet would fall out on you. So it came away from its frame. So you'd got a slight alert from Tim, and then you had to put your hands up on the window. And as you went round the corner, you know, to keep everything in place. What was essential too is that you had gaffer tape. You know, no one who had a banger went around without gaffer tape. And you just stuck your lights on if they fell off, or your number plate. And it didn't matter. I mean, who cares what color it was? You didn't have to coordinate. You just stuck it on. And then most cars of the banger phase got to the point where they wouldn't start on their own. So you had to push them. You could never just start it. You know, you don't have these sort of little buttons that you have. You had to get behind it and push it. And I remember going to a very grand house to do an interview. And I came out and the lady said to me, "Oh, where's your car?" And I said, "Oh, I've just put it round the corner." She said, "Oh, you should have brought it up to the drive." I thought, there is no way I'm bringing this old banger. I mean, we had to park it on a hill anyway to get the thing started. So everywhere we went, we put it on an incline in the road. And then finally, Tim had a problem with his horn. We were going round Hyde Park Corner in London, and the horn would just go on for no apparent reason, but it would stay stuck on. And you can imagine what the other drivers thought in London, because there's this guy with this horn going on really loudly. So Tim, being the mechanic that he is, he just undid the wires, apparently, so the horn didn't work anymore. We just didn't have a horn. That was the way he fixed it. Now I give you all that as an overview because we had a car parked in our front garden and it was a Saab, I think it was about the 1980s. And if you think of a tank, it was a car in the shape of a tank. And this great big vehicle was lodged in our front garden and it had died. I mean, you couldn't push it, stick it, you know, whatever, you know, it just wouldn't work anymore. So it was lodged there. So I rang up the breaker's yard on a Monday morning and I'd say, do you think you could take our Saab away? And the guy would say to me, well, love, I'm a bit busy this week, but I'll see what I can do. And then the next Monday, I'd ring the guy up and say, do you think you could take our Saab away? And he'd say, well, love, I'm a bit busy this week, but I'll see what I can do. And I am not kidding you, this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. I rang him every Monday. And then one Monday I rang him and said, do you think you could take our Saab away? And he said, now listen, love, I don't really want your Saab. It is no use to me whatsoever, but because you have never sworn at me and because you have never got really, really angry, I will take your Saab away. And he did. And Luke 18 verse 1 says, Jesus said, we should always pray and not give up. I believe God wants us to listen this morning about the power of persistent prayer. You know, the Christian life can be messy. It's just a fable. Come to Jesus and everything will be easy. No, come to Jesus and he'll get you through the tough bits. He'll be with you in the hard times. And sometimes in life you get a bump in the road and sometimes it's like a sinkhole opens up and you don't know which way to look, which way to turn. And Romans 12 verse 12 says, be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When your sinkhole opens up, when you're having a really tough time, don't panic, don't get into fear. Just keep on praying. You know, we had a friend in Ireland, well, he's from England, came to visit us, a minister called Peter. And he had an uncle who was a minister. And sadly, he fell off the wagon and he became an alcoholic and a womanizer and naturally gave up ministry and just went completely away from the Lord. And then his daughter was getting married. And he was to give a speech at the wedding. So he gave a speech at the wedding. And after that, Peter, our friend, went to find his uncle and he said to him, you have robbed the church of 40 years of your gift of communication. And Peter's uncle said, well, actually, God's been speaking to me. And he's given me a heart for people who are badly backslidden and to bring them back to God. Now that's a wonderful story, but underneath it is a wife who prayed for 40 years. Persistent prayer. She never gave up. She kept on praying until he came through. And you know, we love Caleb. We love the story of Caleb in the Bible and how he, you know, with the other spies, with the two, him and Joshua, that believed God, that they could take the promised land. And all the others around them said it couldn't happen. And Caleb held on to his dream. Do you know, there's a good point here. The crowd aren't always right. The opinion of the crowd isn't always right. Sometimes we need to listen to the ones and the twos, because sometimes they've got the voice of the Lord. And so Caleb, He spent all those years going round the mountain with a bunch of miserable people. Not only did they moan all the time, but they died around him as well. But after 45 years, he got his inheritance. Yes, he got it by faith, but he also got it by perseverance. He never gave up. He believed what God had said, and he held on to that promise. You know, the enemy, he wants your influence. He wants your purpose and he wants your destiny. You know, God wants us to finish what we start. Starting something's easy. the emotions kick in, it's fun, it's exciting, we tell everybody this is what I'm going to do, and we've got plans, and then we hit that middle point where it's really tough. But God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit. He is our enabler. He is our strengthener. He will get us through the tough middle phase to get us through the end, to the end. We are not doing this by grit determination. We are not doing this on our own, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to get us through. You know, sometimes we say, oh, it's just too hard. Well, do you remember pre-COVID that 30 bars of 24 karat gold worth £10,000 were buried on Folkestone Beach? How many people got their buckets and spades and went down there at all hours of the day and night digging for treasure? And they went the next day and the next day and the next day. Sometimes it's all about incentive. And sometimes when we're praying, we need to focus more on the end result than what we're going through right now. Godly perseverance is a walk of faith, believing in an invisible God instead of the visible circumstances. And this morning I want us to look at a scripture in the New Testament, which is all about persistence. I'm going to read the whole lot, because actually it's really short. And it's Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, if you've got your phones or the Bible. I'm sure it will come up here. So that's Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" So the character, firstly, in Jesus' story, is the judge who neither fears God or men. Isn't that interesting that Jesus, so all the commandments are summed up in two things: that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And they are the two very things that the judge did not do. So he was completely, totally an ungodly man. He had a total abuse of power. As a judge, he was meant to be there for the marginalized, for the downtrodden, for those in difficulty, for the widows. But he didn't do that. What is it they say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it seems that that is what happened with this man. He had no interest in other people, in people seeking justice. He was only interested in himself. He had no interest in this widow woman, so it was like putting no hope across the door. You won't find any help here. You might as well give up. There is no hope in this situation. He wanted to break her down and just say, give up, give in. Isn't that like the enemy? Give up, give in. Why bother? Why persevere? No hope. Just walk away, leave it all. And then you have the widow. Now, she had a legitimate right for justice. She was standing on good ground. This was quite right that she should come to him and say, "Give me justice." But this little widow woman had a powerful weapon. You couldn't see this weapon. It was quite disguised, and she was just an ordinary lady. But what this woman had was persistence. This little lady was not going to give up. He had no idea of this at this time. He just thought she's a poor widow woman, and I can deal with her so quickly. I will use my power to say, I am not going to help you, so you can clear off. That's pretty much what he was saying to her. Don't bother. How hard it must have been for her. You know, when you're believing for something, how many people have said, don't bother, to you? How many people have gone that way and people have said to them, it's not going to work. Why should you bother to do what you're doing? I should just give up with you. Why wear out your shoe leather going backwards and forwards? You're not going to get a good result. But she chose to push past the failures of others and the discouragement. She said, I am not going to do that. I am going to employ perseverance. I am going to keep going. You know, there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus talks about the woman with the alabaster jar, and she broke it over Jesus. And the disciples say, what a waste of money. And Jesus says, she's done a beautiful thing. But after that, he says, she did what she could. I believe God has a word for some of us this morning. Just do what you can. Don't do what other people want you to do. Don't feel compelled and pushed and rushed. God is saying, do what you can. Just do what I've gifted you to do. That woman, all she had was alabaster perfume in that box. That was all she had. And she gave it to Jesus. She didn't raise the dead. She didn't walk on water. She just did what she could. And so often as Christians, we are so bombarded, so influenced, that we should be doing all this and all that, when God is saying, just do what you can. Because your small part, when it's put together with everybody else, will make a great whole. And so she came. Now, later on in the story, Jesus talks about us coming to him night and day. Well, I believe she probably came night and day. Came in the morning, came back, went out in the evening, came back, went out in the morning, came back, over and over again. And at first, nothing happens. There's no change. Nothing happens. She keeps coming, but nothing changes. But she doesn't give up. And suddenly, the man who doesn't fear God, and he doesn't fear people, starts to fear a little widow woman. This little woman creeps along in the morning and she says, it's me, cooey, can I have justice? And then she goes back again because he says no. And then she's back again, it's me again, I'll be back. And he must have got to the point where he dreaded her coming, where he hid from her being there. When he laid down at night, all he could see was her face. All he could hear was her voice, because she persisted. And how the power changes. Now the power changes from the judge who thinks he's all powerful to the widow woman with the power, because she has been persistent. She creates breakthrough. This man starts to change his mind. He starts to think, I can't do this. This is spoiling my equilibrium. I had a peaceful life before this silly little woman came into it. And she will not stop and she will not go away. Because she cried out day and night. She believed in her justice. She was persistent. She said, it is possible. I will not give up until I get what I came for. And persistence caused the walls to crack, caused the walls to break down, caused chains to come off if we are persistent. And in the end, he gives her justice. And Jesus sums up the parable by saying she gained victory from an unjust man. And he says, I'm not like that. I want you to know I am entirely just. I am caring and I am compassionate and I am loving. But are you persistent in prayer? Have you given up praying? Are you praying day and night? Are you believing God for that situation? Or has the enemy so discouraged you? Has he put that sign, no hope, across the door? No hope, this won't change, this won't break down. So just walk away like all those others. Or do you have the spirit of that woman that says, I will persist, I will not give up? You know, God has been so faithful to us. I believe our response to God is, I will be faithful to you. Because you have been so faithful. I don't understand loads of things that go on in life, but it doesn't stop me being faithful to God. You know, we need waiting with expectancy faith. I don't know when breakthrough is going to come, but I want to stay in a position of perseverance. When it happens, how it happens, who it happens through, I don't know. Those answers are entirely and completely with God. My responsibility is to not give up praying. You know, Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on earth? You know, that was one of the very first scriptures that really attached itself to me when I became a Christian. Will I find faith on earth? And I don't know that he means it as reprimand. I think what he means is, don't give up. Keep going in your faith. You'll still have peace. You'll still have joy. You'll still have wisdom. You'll still have discernment. If you stay connected to me, you will have all those things. I was talking to a lady here last week, and she was talking about a period in her life where she disconnected from God. And she said, I felt this emptiness inside of me. I knew I needed to get back with God. Do you know that during the height of COVID, a quarter of the population of Great Britain sought spiritual answers? Wouldn't it be amazing if people were still persevering and finding God now? And I believe God wants to say to us this morning, are there things you've let go of? Have you allowed that unjudged judge, the enemy, to say it's impossible? But think of that woman. She prayed 40 years. Caleb waited 45 for his mountain. Could you pray that long? Could you stand in faith? Could you persevere? Could you keep going to see the miracle, to see the breakdown, to see God answer in some way or another? Like in Daniel, it didn't happen straight away when he prayed. There was a fight in the heavenlies. We are spiritual beings. There are fights going on in the heavenlies. We can't see a lot of the time. But God says, persevere. He's calling his church today. You know, this is just after chapter 17, which talks about end times. And boy, are times changing really, really fast. And I believe God has a word for the church. Don't give up. Persevere. Times might be tough. Sinkholes might open up. But don't panic. Just keep on praying. God is with you. Let's just take a moment. And if there's something on your heart that you feel you've let go of, let this be the opportunity that you lift it up before God and say, God, I'm going to start praying about that again. I'm not going to let the enemy say to me, this is hopeless. Because our God is a God of all hope. Nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Thank you. Father, we just thank you this morning. What an amazing God we serve. How faithful you are to your people, even when we are unfaithful at times. I just pray for those this morning, Lord, who've let go of their dreams, who've let go of the things that they really want to see breakthrough in. And Father, I just pray this morning, resurrect that perseverance. Help them to take time with your Holy Spirit to get refilled again, refreshed, and believe that there will be breakthrough. We just come against that lie of the enemy that says there is no hope. For there is always hope with Jesus. Ian, could you pop up in a minute after Gareth? Thank you.
Just in a moment we're going to sing, but I just want to share a testimony with you, and it's not my testimony, but when I was a kid in church, there was a woman called Anne, who she had a daughter just slightly older than me, so she must have been 40-ish, I suppose, I don't know. And every time we had a prayer meeting, every time she had the opportunity to pray, she'd pray for her ex-husband who had left her and her daughter when the daughter was small, and she'd pray for him and pray for him to be saved. And it took 20 years of praying before he came to Christ, and their marriage, well, they were remarried, and I had the privilege, as I was probably 16 or 17, of leading worship in their wedding. And I remember that moment like it was just fantastic. And so I really just, I wanted to share that because I think it's probably relevant to someone. Maybe there's somebody that you're praying for. Maybe there's somebody in your life who you just need to keep going. Don't stop. And that's what Sue's really challenged us with. But I just felt like that testimony, you know, you shared, you know, one as well. But just, it's great for us to hear those stories, isn't it? Because that inspires us just to keep going. Sorry.